giving us your word, and that our lives are guided by your word. We pray that the lesson that Pastor Craig has for us this morning might take root in our hearts and our lives, that we would understand that you look on our hearts and not on our actions. We ask now your blessing for the message this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Mitch. Good morning.
Good morning.
I read a book not long ago, and the author stated in that book that he thinks most pastors today don't preach about giving money to God's work enough. He also stated that he thinks one of the reasons many pastors shy away from preaching about giving is because of the many televangelists and the like who make it their aim to always preach about giving money, who oftentimes even take advantage of people in that, and it seems that money is all they ever talk about. And so this author that I was reading, he said that many pastors, he thinks, don't preach about giving as much as they should because they don't want to sound like them. Well, I was once asked, Craig, why don't you preach more about giving money to God's work? And if you've been here for any length of time, you probably know that I don't actually preach about that often. But my answer to that person was simple. I said, I preach about giving money to God's work every time I come to a passage about giving money to God's work. You see, for the most part, my messages follow scripture verse by verse. So I preach about giving money to God's work in exact proportion to its occurrence in God's word. In my opinion, I preach about giving to God's work exactly as often as God wants me to. And that is why I preach about giving as often as I do. Now, I'm convinced that the Lord has blessed that. I'm very convinced that the Lord has blessed that. He has provided perfectly for this local church, and even in abundance, so that we could actually give as a church sacrificially to others that are in ministry. Now, all of that to say, as you can already see, we have come to a passage about giving to the Lord's work. So we are going to expound on that today. In fact, we have come to a passage, an event that serves as a transition from one topic to another in the Gospel of Luke. Back in chapter 20, if you'll remember, Jesus had just been talking about the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees, the Jewish leaders of the day, who take advantage of even poor widows. And he says that he notices then a widow giving to the Lord's work. And then we have the passage that we're going to look at today. But after that, upon the teaching about giving, some of the disciples noted that the temple is beautiful because of the rich people that have been willing to give to the Lord's work. In fact, if you want to peek at verses 5 and 6 quickly, it says, "Then as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations, he said, 'These things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone will be left upon another that shall not be thrown down.'" That comment about the temple's beauty from the donations of the rich launches Jesus into an explanation of the future events known as the Olivet Discourse, which, Lord willing, we'll begin looking at next week. But for today, we have this short and simple transitionary subject about giving. giving to the Lord's work. That is our subject this morning, and the lesson is a simple one, okay? Simply put, Jesus used this impoverished widow as an example of how to give properly. This passage is not a condemnation against the rich. It's not a promotion to be poor. Rather, it provides a very simple example of how to give to the Lord's work and how not to give to the Lord's work. So let's read the passage that Mitch just read. We'll read it again and learn the lessons that it teaches here. It says in verse 1, "And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, 'Truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all, for all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. But she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had.'" And the first lesson that I want to point out from this very brief passage is don't give out of your abundance. In fact, I'll word it a little bit different. You can add the word in if you want. Don't give only out of your abundance. Jesus says that is often how the rich give to God's work, out of their abundance. Have you heard of the giving pledge? That's a very general statement, and I'll tell you about it here in a second, but it does encourage what it is. Well, it was established by Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, all right? But it's an encouragement to very wealthy people to give in areas of need. It actually reminds me, though, of the Pharisees who liked to call attention to themselves as they gave charitably. In Matthew 6:2, Jesus says, "Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men." Well, the giving pledge was launched by Bill Gates and Warren Buffett in 2010. As a campaign to encourage billionaires from all industries to give at least half of their wealth to charities in the course of their lifetime. Now, thus far, it has been signed by about 236 billionaires. You can find every one of their names online. And as I mentioned, I have mixed emotions about it, because while charities can receive much-needed funds, it is like sounding a trumpet for everyone who signs the pledge. And those who don't are then unfairly criticized. It's nobody's business, really. It's nobody's business what God's and the giver, really, what a person gives. And as you think about it, Bill Gates is worth about $116 billion. Warren Buffett is worth about $104 billion. And if they gave half of that away, I don't know how they'd make it. And see, there I go criticizing. It's really none of my business what they give or don't give, but a public pledge like this brings us to that kind of thinking. And that's not what God wants. That's not what God wants. Here's the lesson God wants to teach us, and he wants us individually to learn. Don't give only out of your abundance. You see, rich givers often take first what they want to live. And I use the word take because none of it actually belongs to them anyway. Okay? None of it actually belongs to us anyway. It belongs to God. But they take what God has blessed them with, and the first thing they often use it for, the first thing we often use it for, is our own livelihood, to maintain our level of livelihood. And by the way, you and I, simply living in the United States of America, regardless of our current financial circumstances, we are the rich. We are the people Jesus is addressing right here. Our level of life surpasses just about anyone in Jesus' day. But we take what God has blessed us with, and the first thing we often use it for is the maintaining of our own livelihood. Rich givers often take first what they want to live on, and then also rich givers often give to God out of the leftovers. It may be a lot. The leftover half of $116 billion is a lot of money. But really, it's not about the amount. It's about the priority. Israel was to give to God the first fruits and the best, as are we. Exodus 23:19 says, "The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God." Proverbs 3:9, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase." Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Think about it this way. How important would you feel to me if I invited you over for dinner and you noticed that I had a nice home, my furnishings were nice, they were quality, my cupboards were full of food, my refrigerator was full of quality foods, but then as I served you dinner, I pulled a couple leftover slices of pizza out of the refrigerator, put them in the microwave with a bowl of tater tots that was on my counter, and then I poured you a drink of stale soda. You probably wouldn't feel very important to me. And I'll just quickly tell you, I'm kind of telling on myself right now for I was very embarrassed one day when I had, it was actually Jacob and Elaine over, yeah, I'm pointing to you, Jacob and Elaine over to our house for lunch, and I didn't give them leftover pizza, but I had this can of Mountain Dew, and I don't drink Mountain Dew, but it was in our fridge since two New Year's Eves ago. And it was sealed, but I've been trying to get rid of it with everybody that comes over. You like Mountain Dew? Finally, Elaine took it. She opened it up, took a swig. It was flat. It was completely flat. Well, when you see Elaine, tell her that I do. She is important to me, okay? But anyway, you know, that's the situation that we're trying to correct here. Rich givers often give to God out of their leftovers, okay? They take first what they want to live, and they give him the leftovers. And the lesson really is, don't give only out of your abundance. And we're going to talk about a little bit more about what that looks like here before we're done this morning. Here's the second lesson, though. Do give out of all your livelihood. Do give out of all your livelihood. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood she had." Livelihood is the income that we acquire to pay for the cost of living. Now again, here in this country, we have grown accustomed to a very luxurious level of life. We consider cell phones a necessity. In fact, we consider any kind of electrical lines of communication a necessity. We consider running water a necessity. We consider electricity in our house a necessity. We consider air conditioning a necessity. We consider automated transportation a necessity. We consider name brand clothing a necessity. And we consider prepackaged food a necessity. However, it has only been the past 200 years that we have had any of these things, which means that people got along just fine for thousands and thousands of years without it. There are people in our world still today that are getting along without it. And that's why I said earlier that we in this country, we are rich. But in our passage, Jesus uses a poor widow as an example of how to give. You see, poor givers often give out of what they need. They're sharing, even sacrificing those things that they need to give to others, to God's work. The widow in our passage did not give the two mites, which, by the way, would roughly be equivalent to a penny today. She did not give the two mites. She didn't give the two mites she was going to pay her cell phone bill with. She gave the two mites that she was going to probably use toward her next meal. This would have been money proportionate to the money that she literally needed to stay alive. In fact, Jesus seemed to know that this particular widow gave all the money that she had to stay alive. And certainly it would have been because she knew that if she gave as the Lord led, I'm not telling you to give away all your money, okay? I'm telling you she gave as the Lord led. And as she did that, she knew that the Lord would take care of her. Matthew 6:26, Jesus said, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they?" Pastor Tim Miles was my first pastor, and he planted a church up in southern Utah about 40 years ago and has moved on now just recently to another ministry this year. But early in July, the church up there held a little bit of a celebration for him. And in the course of that celebration, his oldest son shared a story about the early days of that church plant. When Tim had a family of six and very little money to live on, his son remembered being in the back seat of their car as his dad made a deposit at the bank that was not going to be enough to pay all of their bills. But he still held out some cash, put it in his front pocket, and it was at seeing that the son asked him, "Dad, what is that for?" And Tim said, "It's for the Lord's work. I'm going to give it to the church." You see, poor givers often give out of what they need. And poor givers often take what is left over to live. And I use the word take, because none of it actually belongs to us anyway. And that is the beauty of giving to the Lord's work, is we give our all, so to speak. God will take care of us. What is left over will always be enough. It reminds me of the widow and son that Elijah the prophet stayed with. And you can read that story if you want to in 1 Kings 17. But Elijah had been out in the wilderness and he needed food. So he went into town and he found a widow gathering sticks for a fire, and he asked her for a meal, and she said, I only have enough flour and oil to make one last cake of bread for my son and me. And after we eat that, that's it. We have no more. We will starve and die. But Elijah told her, go make the cake and we'll eat it together. And so she did, and as she used the jar of flour and oil for the Lord's work of keeping Elijah the prophet alive, miraculously those jars were filled again and continued to happen as long as she needed it to happen. God always provides enough for those he loves. Jesus gave his all for us. And it was enough. In John 15:13, he said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You see, Jesus came specifically to give his all for us. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Jesus gave his all for us. John 13:15, Jesus said, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. We should give our all for him. In fact, in Romans 12:1-2, the Apostle Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Giving out of all of our livelihood is using everything God has given us for the Lord's work. And again, this doesn't mean that we're giving everything away, but it does mean that we use our money for the Lord's work. Use our food for the Lord's work. Use our home for the Lord's work. Use our time for the Lord's work. And that doesn't mean that every single one of us are in full-time ministry, so to speak. But as lay people, we are in full-time ministry. Whatever we do, do it all to the glory of God. In fact, Ephesians 6:7 says, with goodwill, doing service as unto the Lord and not to men. That is us living our lives, everything that the Lord blesses us with the end goal of bringing glory to God with it. 10:31 says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Even the eating of a meal, do it to the glory of God. That's how we give to the Lord's work. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The lesson is simple, really. Don't give only out of your abundance, but do give out of all your livelihood. And in closing, I just want to give you 5 adjustments that can be made in how we think about our giving, all right? The first 3 are exemplified right here in our passage. The second 2 come from elsewhere, but are certainly connected to what we read right here. Here they are. Giving is less about portion and more about priority. Giving is less about portion and more about priority. Proverbs 3:9 says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase." So it's less about portion and more about priority. Secondly, giving is less about portion and more about proportion. Giving is less about portion and more about proportion. A proportion is giving that is relative to the blessings that we receive. In Deuteronomy 16:17, it says there, "Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord your God, which he has given you." So giving is less about portion and more about proportion. Thirdly, giving is less about sharing and more about sacrificing. Giving is less about sharing, and keep in mind that it is about portion, it is about sharing, but it's less about sharing and more about sacrificing. A sacrifice is giving out of what we need. It is really sharing even what we need, what we're currently using. Christ gave his life. He was still using it. 1 Peter 2:24, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on that tree." So giving is less about sharing and more about sacrificing. Fourthly, giving should never be done as a show, but rather secretly. Giving should never be done as a show, but rather secretly. Matthew 6:2, Jesus says, "Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men." Giving should never be done as a show, but rather secretly. And then giving, last one, giving should never be done grudgingly, but rather generously. Giving should never be done grudgingly, but generously. And of course, 2 Corinthians 9:7, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." And that's how one gives to the Lord's work. And the motive, I pray that the motive, while we didn't focus on the motive this morning, I pray that it's obvious. Christ gave all for us so that we could have eternity with him and even spiritual blessings, all of the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places right now. He gave his all for us so that we could have that. And as we give our lives as a living sacrifice, it's going to show those around us just how good God's will is. Perhaps they'll want it too. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your blessings to us. And I do pray that we, as we count our blessings, we see how lavishly you have blessed us here in this country, that we would be willing to use everything that you give us with the end goal of your work accomplished here on earth. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You go ahead.